Hello, welcome to The Musics in Japan,
a conversational podcast about daily life for an American couple living long-term in Japan.
So lately I've been thinking about what a typical job is, like how Japan and the United States view typical jobs. And like, I feel that the United States has a broader category of what typical jobs are than Japan does, because I'm a therapist, and in the United States, if I say I'm a therapist, they're like, oh, okay, you talk to people for a living. But in Japan, if I say a therapist, they're like, what? And completely confused.
And there's a word for therapist. There are several. So there's the Japanese word for therapist, which I don't remember right now, but there's also therapist too.
Yeah. I know several of them, and I'm not speaking Japanese today. I'm just not doing it. I'm refusing, drawing a line in the sand. So what's even weirder is that some of the people questioning... Sorry, I have to cough. I just ate a roasted marshmallow before the show.
It was sweet and tasty.
Yeah, it was. But it's left my throat a little parched.
Not parched.
Yeah, and it left like a particular spot in the back of my throat dry. So that was interesting. So even people who are like sitting across from me in the therapeutic environment or talking to me in the therapeutic environment will say, I didn't know these were a real thing, and ask me like, do Japanese people do this for a living too? And I'm like, yes, you can find a Japanese therapist who... born and raised in Japan.
Yep.
Trained in Japan. And I belong to the Japanese Psychological Association.
Right. There's which like, is mostly researchers, but I think like more than 10% of their members are therapists.
And there's four or five different groups to help you find a therapist. That's the only thing they do.
Yes. Referral Japan. Services for therapy.
Yeah. So I feel like in the United States, maybe a decade ago, it would have been weird to say you're a YouTuber. But it's, at least in my lifetime, it hasn't been weird. I know in the 70s, it was kind of weird in California. I don't know about the rest of the nation, but in California, it was a little bit weird. And because of various reasons, I still am in therapy since I was two.
Yeah.
So for me, I guess therapists have always been a part of my life. And so they've never seen... alternative to me. It never seemed like an alternative lifestyle.
But I think it's more general than that. I think in the US, if you say like, I'm an influencer, it's only recently that's not a weird thing. But when people ask, what do you do? They expect you to tell them your job, kind of the contents of what you do.
Yeah.
And here, if people ask, which they usually don't, they just want to know what social strata your job is part of. Like, are you a salary man? Meaning... an office worker. So the Japanese is sarayiman or kaishain, but just meaning a person who works at a company, which is confusing because pretty much everybody works at a company.
Yeah.
Including people who work for themselves.
And so most people don't say salaryman anymore. That's kind of outdated.
Oh, is it?
Now people usually say, which is more interesting to me, they usually say freshman employee, sophomore, or what their job title is. And okay. I think it's interesting that like freshman employee, you're in your first year of employment at a company, and sophomore, you're in your second year employment at a company. And then around the third year, at least in my experience. And then with Rasta's experience, he's 26. I'm in my 50s. Chad's in his 40s. So we have several different generations.
You and I are both Gen X.
Music notes will know. The music notes will know the truth.
You and I are both solidly Gen X.
Yeah, the music notes know the truth.
People will talk about the boomers versus the millennials, and we're just off to the side, just watching the battle.
Yeah, and I love millennials. I don't understand why generations need to poop on other generations.
I don't either.
Completely different worlds.
I think the oldest millennials are like 39 or 40 now. The college kids are not millennials for the most part.
I
was in college at... in my 30s, but
yeah. Anywho, back to what we were saying. So, no, I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying?
You were saying
talking about like Rasta's generation and how they don't. So Rost is in a unique position for his job. And his job is that he is the head of a multimedia company. And as the head of the multimedia company, he does a lot of different things. And he doesn't know how to talk about what he does for a living in English, but he does know how to talk about it in Japanese, which I find interesting in terms of his language development. But multimedia company is so confusing to Japanese people when he's talking to them. And I think that's so weird.
I think that's weird too, because the Japanese companies tend to be much more horizontally integrated than yes. American companies. So Mitsubishi Group makes everything from cars to
xylophones.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
And so I know that one of, I forget, oh gosh, I'm going to be so out of it this podcast, you guys. I am completely sleep deprived. And honestly, I guess I kind of want to talk about being a podcaster. It's really challenging because we're like shouting into the wind sometimes. And I just looked at our castos right before the episode. And it kind of bums me out. We've lost listeners, I think, because of that pocket of political episodes we did. I think people don't come to us for political content.
And they should, because you and I are both so politically aware.
But we don't usually talk about it.
No.
And then, so this kind of ties into the business side of it, because I think people don't understand either things that I do for business. They don't understand the business side of being a therapist. Because if they think about therapy as a business, that immediately makes me a predator. Mm-hmm. And that I don't want people to get better. Because as a therapist, I tell everybody, I'm in the business of putting myself out of business. And that is, I'm in the business of helping people have more good days than bad. As soon as they have more good days than bad, they'll stop talking to me. And a lot of people ask me, well, then how can I trust you that you'll want me to have more good days than bad? And here's the truth. It's not interesting as a therapist, for me, as a therapist, to not help someone. That's boring. And so if I'm not helping, it feels pointless to me and boring. If I am helping, I feel like, okay, we're doing something here. And just my personality, I like the work to be really dynamic. That's my approach as a therapist. And so that makes me a really great fit for some people and a not so great fit for other people who want more of like an analysis approach where the therapist isn't really tasking them to do anything and they're allowed to just talk and come to their own realizations.
Which is interesting to me because your approach doesn't rely on any faith. It doesn't rely on the person saying, okay, if I do this for 5 or 10 years or however long.
No, not 5 or 10 years.
I'm going to feel better afterwards, even though I'm not feeling any difference whatsoever right now.
Yeah, no.
And you and I have talked about it. And
I'm very open. If I don't think a client is making progress with me, I'm very open with them and telling them that I don't think I'm the right therapist for them.
Yeah.
Because my style is not helping them progress.
Right.
And I want them to progress. And I think fondly and of all of my clients who have moved on, and I think fondly of all my clients I'm currently working with. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the harder aspects. So I think that's why in Japan it's so confusing, because I won't take everybody's money. There are people that after the free intake, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm not the right therapist for you.
Yeah.
And I give them resources to find someone else. But this show isn't about me being a therapist. It's not an infomercial for my therapy practice. I'm full right now.
Yeah. But I was thinking it's kind of the flip side in being a podcaster, because being a podcaster, you don't know how many people are going to listen.
Yeah.
You don't know how many people are going to join whatever methods you have to support yourself. Like we have our Patreon and we have a little bit of merchandise with our logo. But you have to kind of say, okay, if we do this for this amount of time, people will come, like the Field of Dreams, because yeah. I am part of Gen X, and that was an important movie to American Gen Xers. If you build it, they will come.
It wasn't an important movie to me at all. I've never seen it. I know it was a cornfield. I know.
See, that's how important it was. You know one element of it.
Yeah. I know it was a cornfield because I saw a poster of a cornfield.
Okay.
I don't know anything else.
You don't
need don't know what they were building in the cornfield.
A baseball diamond.
Okay, that sounds stupid. I don't know if the movie was stupid or not, but I can see why I've never seen it.
And everybody told him he was stupid. And you see a lot of
articles. Because if he's a corn farmer,
yes.
How's he going to look?
Right?
He should have enough land that he should build it somewhere other than his cornfield. Hello, where his crops grow. That's stupid.
But when we started the podcast, if you looked up how to be a podcaster, the general advice don't. Was don't.
Yeah.
And then it was don't unless
you're a celebrity. Because it's soul crushing.
Sometimes it is. Yeah. You'll work hard on something and then you put it out there and you'll be like, 20 people somewhere in the world spent an hour listening to that.
So I find our changing demographics to be interesting. Like we used to have a large following in Japan and now we do not.
I think people in Japan don't understand, and we've talked about the hustle before specifically, but don't understand moonlighting on the side hustle and secondary jobs.
Yeah.
So if...
But that has nothing to do with our listenership dropping off in Japan.
You don't think so? Because I think that some of our listeners here expected it to be like explosive. Like, okay, we start the music's in Japan and 3 episodes later we announce we're both quitting our jobs. Because the music's in Japan is now our full-time job.
Because we've been doing it for about 18 months now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And we're in the top 50% of podcasts, which I think is quite astounding that we've been able to stay in the top 50% of podcasts, even with Music Notes abandoning us or leaving us. And I think part of that has to do with, you know, everything that's going on in the world right now. Everybody and their mother has a podcast. There's like the number of podcasters increased exponentially in 2021. Yes. And so I'm happy that we're in the top 50%, but trying to explain to, I feel like the music in Japan is more a labor of love rather than a job.
Right.
And for me, it is work and it does require a lot of effort and creativity and a lot of energy. Like today I'm sick and I'm tired and I don't feel like recording.
And yet you are. Here yeah. you are.
And so that's the job part of it where you right. get up and do it even when you don't feel like it. And so we've created consistency and I think that consistency has led to the Music Notes really hanging with us and standing by us, which I totally appreciate you guys. I love that you guys tune in every week to listen to our ramblings and digressions.
A few weeks ago, I got a message from one of our Music Notes saying, hey, where's the episode? And I wrote them back and said, it's 8:00 in the morning. The episode comes at 10. Be patient. The episode always comes at 10. Be patient.
Yeah, it does. So, but it's 10:00 Japan time. And right. so it's, and we don't have time change in Japan.
Right.
So we don't have daylight savings in Japan. So for everyone that's having, so like recently Australia had daylight savings.
Yeah, Australia, United US, States. And Europe all went on different days. So yeah. it was interesting for me at work in that like water cooler interesting, not in the, this fascinates me and I must now study it to see all of the different gaps between me and my coworkers changing.
So something I haven't figured out for myself is, do I view this as a radio show? And then I say that out loud, I think, no, I don't. It's a podcast. But I don't fundamentally know the difference between a podcast and a radio show. And this was revealed to me when I was speaking to a Japanese friend about the podcast. And so I'll be honest, I was harassing my friend like, yo, how come you're not listening to my podcast anymore? And they were like... Because they told me, honestly, because I have no interest in anything that's going on in the United States, and they're only listening to it to learn my opinions about Japan, which was so weird to me.
That is weird to you. Do you secretly hate Japan?
Right? I always feel like my Japanese friends are constantly looking for that day when I'm going to hate Japan. I'm very honest about the number one thing I hate about Japan is that there's no Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
That's my number one problem with Japan. Like, out of everything. And I know there are, like, bigger systemic problems in the world. But for me, it's Jack in the Box. Because the other day we were just talking about this. I would love, love, love if you're in the state of California, you're really going to relate to this. And it's probably going to make you crack up. I hope it does. I would love for a Japanese person or any Asian person from Asia to taste the Jack in the Box egg roll.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch their mind be blown as to how this is in any way an egg roll.
Yeah, because we have some Japanese friends who are very cosmopolitan. So Japan doesn't really do egg rolls. If you want egg rolls here, you have to go to a Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
Japan has spring rolls.
Yeah.
And they're different than the Vietnamese spring rolls. So my friend...
But in looking at it, they would think that it was a spring roll.
Right.
And then the thought of dipping it in ranch dressing would just be like, what are you doing? Because the only place to
Jack in the Milk has buttermilk dressing, not even ranch dressing.
Okay, so that's even stranger. The only place you can get ranch dressing here is...
Costco.
Can you get it at Costco?
Yeah, that's where you can get it, is Costco.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought the only place you could get it was Outback.
Oh, as far as restaurants, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't think the Japanese nationals are eating ranch dressing.
Probably not a lot, no.
Because you don't. And I love the sesame dressing. The Japanese sesame dressing is absolutely delicious. So you should absolutely go to a Mitsukoshi if you have one in your town and try the sesame dressing. It is so flavorful and so delicious. It's really scrumptious.
We have the Mitsukoshi grocery store near De Anza College where we went. I think that's why
they're all over the United States. Yeah.
See, I thought they were just in Northern California.
No, I know that there's a couple in Texas, Kansas, wherever there's a Toyota factory, there's a Mitsukoshi.
Interesting. Yeah. I haven't made that connection.
Yeah, because there's a lot of anywhere that there's a Japantown, and almost every state has a Japantown.
That's true.
So if you go to Japantown, there's usually a Mitsukoshi. And if not a Mitsukoshi, there's some sort of Japanese grocer.
Right.
And you definitely check out the sesame dressing. It is so scrumptious.
It really is.
Yeah. And they're not sponsoring this video. I just really love the dressing.
Well, you can get like 50 different brands of it here.
Yeah.
And there's not like the Japanese dressing Japanese Sesame Dressing Association.
Yes.
Like how there's the milk board that pays for advertisements for milk.
Yeah.
They don't do that for sesame dressing.
And so my favorite, I don't know the name of it, but I like the one from Circle K.
Yes.
Which is a convenience store. Which
no longer exists.
It doesn't exist anymore?
Family Mart bought them. And then over the course of a couple of years, they all changed to Family Mart.
Okay.
And you've tried the Family Mart one, and it's the same recipe because they bought it from Circle K.
Okay. They'll always be Circle K to me. Circle K forever.
Yeah.
So I'm really bad with changing names of stuff because my dyslexia. So once I learn something, that's what it is.
Well, and there was a Circle K in my town growing up in Texas.
Was there?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It started out as an American company, got bought by a Japanese company.
Mm-hmm.
And then that got bought by a different Japanese company.
So back to talking about whether our topic, having non-traditional jobs in Japan. So figuring out whether or not this is a podcast or a radio show and what's the difference, I'm going to ask my autistic husband because he has a rule for everything. And I don't know whether or not he has a rule for this because I've never asked him.
I absolutely do. Yes.
But just to ease his mind, I don't have a non-autistic husband. I only have one. Because he literally wonders, like when I say my autistic husband, if I have a husband who's not autistic, what am I referring to, just him? Is he my only husband?
Well, and if you say my autistic spouse, I'm like, wait a minute. When did you get a wife?
Yeah, exactly. So he really goes on in his mind. So just to clarify things, I only have one spouse, one partner, one romantic partner, because Rasta's our business partner, so I have two business partners, but only one romantic partner, one intimate partner in that way, and that would be you, and you're autistic, and you're my husband, therefore you are my autistic husband.
Okay. I gotcha.
And anyone who's not autistic, what I did was not offensive in any way. And if you're a music note, y'all know what we're doing. I really don't like when I get person first language notes. I really despise it.
Well, you were trained on person first language.
I was. And you use
that person first language to talk to disabled people and autistic kids and all of that. And
I do not use that person first language.
Right.
With.
No, I'm saying you talk to them.
I have zero clients with autism, but I have several autistic clients.
Right.
And all of my autistic clients have been very clear that they are not with autism, that right. they are autistic.
Right. Of the two of us, you are the one with autism because I am the autism you're with.
Yes, I am with autism. Yes, I am married with autism. Yep. That's a funny joke, which I always tell Chad that I'm married with him. Yes. I like being married with him. I prefer being married with him than being married to him.
It's something we're doing together.
Yeah.
It's not something we're doing to each other. It's yeah. something we're doing together.
Yeah, because I'm married to you feels really pointed.
Yeah.
And it also feels really dominant. Like, if I'm married to you, then I'm...
Well, and which word do you emphasize? I'm married to you. Or I'm yeah. married to you.
Yeah.
Or I'm married to you.
Yes, yeah, so every now and then I'll... It's really rare that I say it, but I prefer married with.
Yes.
So, anywho, there was a point in all of this.
Yes, and I there was. And you wanted yes. to know what's the difference between a podcast and a radio show.
Yeah, what is the difference between a podcast and a radio show?
Okay, now if we want to go strictly.
Yeah, I want to do strictly.
Okay, strictly the difference between a podcast and a radio show is that a radio show is broadcast live.
And not so, all of them.
Yes, I'm telling you strictly. Okay, not strictly. Disagree with me on strictly.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
And very, very strictly, it would be broadcast over the radio waves. You might have it simultaneously broadcast over the internet, but it would be broadcast from a radio tower. That would make it a radio show.
Yeah, and our shows are never live.
Right.
They're always pre-recorded.
So now radio show is often used for things that are only broadcast over the internet, but are done so live or with a small delay. Sometimes they have, you know, 10-second delay to bleep words if they're not going to allow profanity or to allow live captioning or things like that. Our podcast is recorded in advance, and then the entire thing is available at once. So you never see it live. You don't need to ever stream it.
Mm-hmm.
You could skip around in it. You could listen to the end to get to the punchline and then listen to the whole setup. So we're a podcast.
Okay, so listening to the end of our podcast would just lead to confusion.
It would.
I don't know, music notes, do y'all ever just like skip around? And I think that would be so confusing because we are not a linear podcast. Well, I am not a linear thinking.
I saw one of our friends swerve and curve online who said that when they listen to podcasts, even if those podcasts have a transcript, which we always have a transcript.
Yeah, we always do.
Rather than reading the transcript, they just listen and then go back and re-listen to get the words they missed.
Okay, nice. Thank you for listening twice. We love our music notes. So I think that we have like the best audience in the world. I really do. I love our interaction with them. I love how kind they are. I love how supportive they are. And I love how much they wish we would advertise our podcast.
And because you're hearing this, she means you.
Yes, I am talking about you. Listener, you listening right now, I am talking directly to you. So that's really sweet, and I really appreciate it. It's been really kind of hard for me that all of our, I think all but like maybe five of our Japanese listeners have stopped listening because of, they stopped listening at the Black Lives Matter episode.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just sort of haven't come back.
Yeah.
And I think, well, I know because I knew all of our Japanese listeners. Well, there was a time when I didn't, where we had several hundred Japanese listeners. And the reason that we got so political is because those were things that were deeply affecting us. And we talk about whatever I'm thinking about. Like, yes. That's the whole premise of the podcast. It's not even what Chad's been thinking about. It's whatever I've been thinking about.
I mean, I find my ways to insert what I've been thinking about.
Yeah.
But
So I don't really, we don't really know. Like, we maybe have two or three, like, rough ideas, and we, like, jot them down. But we tried, so at the very beginning of the podcast, we made a list of 56 topics.
Yeah.
And we pretty closely stuck to those, but not in order. Did all
of those. Right. Yeah, I
think and we did do all of them.
So that was the first year, including the multiple episodes that we released when we launched, so that people could kind of get into it. Say, okay, yeah, there's more than one episode here.
Yeah. But I found that it just, as the world started becoming more dynamic around us, and as our life started becoming more dynamic, I found that having those pre-planned episodes that were planned months and months in advance just didn't work. And we used to record episodes months and months in advance, and that wasn't working anymore because it made us really out of step with the world.
Right.
And we live in the world. We are part of the world. We don't live in an ivory tower. We do have a mansion and an apartment building.
That is ivory colored.
Yeah. So... no, I don't think it's ivory. I think it's more of a cream.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I could go for that.
Yeah, because it's got more yellow in it than like a bone.
Okay, yeah. But talking with Japanese people, and when they say, well, what do you do? When I wasn't working full-time, when I was doing freelancing, I would say, I'm a podcaster. I do podcasts. And they'd say, well, what does that mean? Well, do you know what a podcast is? And they're like, yeah, I'm vaguely aware of what a podcast is.
I've met people that are like, no.
Yeah. But most of the people I meet tend to be in technology in some way. So I think they're a little bit more aware. Most of the people you meet tend to be in pain in some way.
Yeah.
Just due to the nature of our jobs. But they would say things like, well, why would anybody go listen to your opinion? Like not directed at us specifically, not your opinion, but why would a person want to know another person's opinion?
Yeah.
How is that job to give an opinion? And then they would tell me about the latest thought leader that they were listening to.
Yeah.
Or reading. And so the Japanese fascination, and I don't think it's strictly Japanese, but it's definitely here, with thought leaders is just, I have a hard time distinguishing.
It's a global thing.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Because if you think about Tony Robbins, he's a thought leader. If you think about Eckhart Tolle, he's a thought leader.
Yeah.
So there's like tons and tons of thought leaders out there, and a lot of people love to hear successful people talk about their thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, I didn't get why would anybody listen from Japanese nationals. I got give me your elevator pitch and make me care from Americans mostly. And I was like, no, thank you. It's not that serious. It's not that serious. Like, well, what do you guys talk about? And I said, honestly, whatever I'm thinking about. Okay. And they're like, so why would people listen?
In an overarching theme, we talk about what it's like to live in Japan, being foreigners who don't have to make elevator pitches about why people should care about what we do.
Snap! Completely. Completely. So I was like, so I'm torn between the phrase passion project and vanity project.
Mm-hmm.
So we do it because we enjoy talking to each other. And the thought to do a podcast, and I don't know if we said this, but I think we might have said it before, is because we were standing on a platform getting ready to go out of town, facing each other, talking in deep and rapt conversation. And a friend of ours, we didn't notice our friend standing there. A friend of ours was standing there and just enjoying watching us talk.
Right.
And enjoying eavesdropping on our conversation. And then was like, as we were getting on the train, they were like, hey, I'm not getting on this train you're getting on, but I saw you guys and I saw that you, and I really enjoyed your conversation. Every time I see you guys, you sound and look so in love. And I wish I had that with my partner. And then they dashed across the platform and got onto their train.
Yeah.
And that sort of started the germ of an idea. Mm-hmm. Like, what could we do to sort of, I don't know, share that with people? And so I don't know if it's vanity to want to share it with people or passion.
I think that for me, I always have to tell myself people want to hear what you think, or I just won't speak.
Yeah. Like,
and that's the autism, I'll admit. Yeah. So for me, saying it's a vanity project, it doesn't fit in what I think of as a vanity project, because what we're talking about is not like, here's how to do it. A vanity yeah. project would be, we're in love, we've been married more than 20 years, we're still in love, we still like each other, we still talk for hours every day. Here's how you do that.
No, we're not doing that.
And I don't think there's one right way. And you would know a lot more about couple dynamics because yeah. of your job.
Yeah.
But no, we're not doing that. And you and I have always talked about how we would never...
We don't want to proselytize.
Exactly.
It's like, what are we doing? I think we're just inviting people into our conversation.
Yes, that's what we're doing.
Inviting people to take part of our conversation.
And to hear our thoughts and all of that. And like writing the book that I'm publishing in February, I'm sharing my specific thoughts in one form about one story. So a novel is kind of like...
The book that you're doing is Breaking Hearts, but that's part of the take two.
Yeah.
That's part of, if you want to know the devastation that this book has caused.
Right.
Positive devastation. That's yeah. that's a take yeah. two topic. And we're saving it for take two because we really, really, really appreciate everyone who's giving to the Patreon and everyone who takes the time to spend that extra 10 to 15 minutes with us every week. We want to give them value added. And so far, they're really enjoying it. And I thought it was going to be a mixed bag. I didn't yeah. think everybody would be as into it. But I guess the process for your book has been so dynamic. Maybe they're enjoying how quickly, like every week, there's like really something new and exciting yeah, that's yeah. happening. And it sort of anchors us in time to show that we're not recording these months and months in advance, that this is like our weekly, right. this is where we're at in our life kind of thing. So we're still in quarantine. We're still in lockdown. And for me, something I'm interested to see is what happens to all the podcasts after lockdown.
Yeah, when all because, the people who are doing them and instead of performing or
yeah.
being in film or whatever. Yeah. Will they keep it up? Because it's a lot of work.
Because we don't have seasons.
Right.
So we record 52 weeks out of the year.
Yeah.
And we do it every single week, even when I'm feeling sick or low in energy.
And we've done it even while we're on vacation. We take our gear with us and we set up and record.
Yeah. So to me, I think it's going to be really interesting to watch them fall off.
Yeah.
And I feel kind of sad for their audience.
Yeah. You
know, because they build... I know another thing that I love about y'all is the music notes have really formed a community. And they talk to each other on Twitter and they talk to each other on Instagram. And so even though we've stopped posting
right.
weekly, our Instagram fell off, y'all. We know. It fell off like a year ago.
But
Instagram will not let you schedule.
Right. It's against the rules to have something scheduled for you. And yeah. And we can schedule it.
Yeah. And on Twitter, y'all know we don't. Like this episode, though, I am going to make it. I'm looking down. I have a pen, but I'm so tired today. I don't have the energy to pick it up and write down. But I think this episode we should promote because we're back to ourselves.
Okay.
Because now that the U.S. election is over, that sort of, I had a brain fever with everything that was going on with it. It was so upsetting for me. And now I feel like I've regained myself and this is not the platform for my activism.
Right.
This was never a platform for my activism. At least from my perspective, it wasn't a place that I went to just have a conversation with you
yeah.
and talk about literally I was roasting a marshmallow saying, what are we going to talk about today? And you're like, I don't know. What are you thinking about?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's weird that the Japanese people don't know what a therapist is. And I think it's even weirder when someone's in session with me and they're like, what do you do? And I'm like, so it's not like you can just get an appointment with me immediately. It's a process to get an appointment. It's not an arduous one.
Right.
But there is a form that you fill out. And on the form is this basic background information. The form is, what would you like to work on?
Right.
And everybody fills in that thing. And then in the session, I talk about that, and I do like a whole preamble. And I'm always shocked that, like, at the end of it, they're like, so this is what you do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, this is what we do.
That's interesting to me, because I don't see how your therapy sessions are put together, because those are private.
Yeah.
But I have helped you put together by being an audience.
But I've jokingly shared with you my preamble.
That's what I'm saying. I've helped you put together by being an audience your speech about confidentiality.
Yeah, because that has to roll off the tongue.
Your speech about cognitive behavioral therapy, if people come to you asking for that.
Yeah, and why they shouldn't. I'm willing to do cognitive behavioral therapy, but I don't think it works.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the most effective. It's a rare person that actually does CBT the way that it's meant, cognitive behavioral therapy, the way that it's meant to be done.
Well, and I think CBT, you and I have talked about this a lot, so these are my thoughts, not Christopher's thoughts as a therapist. I think CBT is not effective if your situation sucks, because I think CBT is about, oh, my situation is good, but my mind is still bad.
Yeah, because it's about your automatic thoughts.
Right. So if your situation still sucks.
Yeah.
Like on Twitter, when a lot of disabled people are like, I don't want to be told to do CBT.
Yeah.
And like, no, it's not going to fix what's wrong with you physically. It's not going to fix what ails you.
And it's not going to teach you how to cope with disability.
No.
It's just CBT is directed specifically at changing how your automatic thought about things. And a lot of people come in and they say, yes, that's what I want to do. And I say, okay, we can. Dude, let's do 10 minutes of CBT and see if that's what you really want. Mm-hmm. And then I tell them, let's do 10 minutes of compassion-focused therapy, which is what I prefer to do, and see if that's what you want. But those are, I feel like people that come in with that are like seasoned therapeutic hands. Like they've been through therapy, they understand therapy. So in trying to explain what I do, because we own a multimedia company that our son Roster runs for us. You have the non-traditional job of being a certified, brag on yourself for a minute, because you got a really good certification recently, and I don't think we've shared it with our music notes yet.
Yeah, so I'm a data engineer. And I
officially. Sorry. I'm excited.
That's my job title.
Yeah.
And I recently got the Google Cloud Platform certification, so I am a Google Professional Cloud Certified Data Engineer.
Yeah, and that's really impressive if you're in the industry.
And the swag has not arrived yet, but I ordered some swag. We're passing it. And Christopher told me specifically, if you pass this test, you are not allowed to order swag.
Yes, I did.
But...
And I knew when he looked at me that he had probably already ordered swag.
But when I passed the test, Google sent me a code for free swag. So I have not paid for any swag. So I feel like I have honored the spirit of the agreement
to not order swag. Y'all see what I'm working with. The music notes are always, in my mind, the music notes always take my side.
Like, okay.
We don't need any more swag.
Okay. So I'm going to
What swag did you get?
I'm going to tell you live, right? So people can see how wrong you are.
Did you get a t-shirt?
No.
Then you've lost me already.
No, I haven't lost you. Because okay. There's one other thing you like.
Pens. Keychains.
Neither of those. I got a hoodie in your size.
Oh, you got a hoodie. I love hoodies, but I'm done with the hoodie phase of my life.
You think you're done with the hoodie phase of your life?
I have all the hoodies I want.
But they might wear out.
They won't. So...
I have a space in the closet for it already.
I feel so bad for you. You just you failed. So, like, that's a face plant.
Is it?
Face planted. Oh, man.
Oh, man. I Googled all over myself.
You did. I'm so sorry for you. Like, it's okay, music notes. Send him love. Send him heart emojis. He needs them. Because that was bad and public. I'm as your best friend, I'm here to comfort you.
They include a sticker and a face mask, too.
Oh, wow. To other things we don't want. He's like, I know something you'll love. And then when I list all of the things I'm currently into, he's like, no, but wait. It's something that you haven't been into for over a decade. Over a decade. Yeah. I haven't been in the United States. He's making fun of me because in the United
States. I'm not making fun of you.
You are making fun of me because we would go every time we would go to San Francisco from Santa Clara, which is about 60 minutes south of San Francisco in California. You would ask me, do you want to bring a hoodie? And I'm like, no, it's warm. And then every time we would get to San Francisco, I'm like, it is so cold. I need to buy a hoodie. And so the reason I have so many hoodies is because I wouldn't account for how windy San Francisco is. Mm. And I have this thing that if wind touches my skin at all, it gives me a chill.
Yes, you do.
And so like even, but that's changed recently, I think, yeah. Like in the past 2 years or so.
I think so.
Yeah. So that was our ramble. I don't know if we really talked about unusual jobs in Japan, but do we ever really talk about what I'm thinking about? Or is that just an illusion?
I think,
what is this podcast? We don't know. It's a podcast. Yeah. Where we say, it's us saying words to each other.
We agree it's not a radio show, but beyond that, who knows?
We don't know what it is, but we're back to our usual content of digressions and disarray and whatever I'm thinking about as always. And my thoughts will be more chipper because the U.S. election is over.
Yes.
It's done. So yay, yay, yay. And so if you want to know what's going on with Chad's book, which is super exciting. I'm super excited. I'm like over the moon. But you are breaking hearts globally.
I am.
You are breaking hearts globally. So follow us on over to Patreon and find out how Chad's book is breaking hearts on a global scale.
Talk to you there.
Thank you for being in Music Note. We appreciate you listening this week and talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening. You can keep the conversation going on our website at themusicsinjapan.com. That's the music spelled M-U-S-I-C-K-S. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at The Musics on both.
And if you'd like to support us, please visit our website to sign up for our newsletter, join a Patreon tier, or send us a one-time donation through PayPal or Ko-fi. We hope you'll listen again next week.
Bye.